We're up to Tera Hey and Likudim on Tanina. Rabbein Azal, this Tera was said the one Rosh Hashanah before Rabbein Azal's Histalkus, meaning Rabbein Azal passed away on Sukkos. This Tera was not said the Rosh Hashanah before his passing, but the Rosh Hashanah before that. And there are a whole list of circumstances around which this Tera was said. Some of them we're going to discuss during different parts of the Tera. Some of them we'll discuss at the end. One or two things we're going to mention as introduction. Number one, Rabbein Azal, this Rosh Hashanah, when he spoke, he mentioned to some of his Talmidim that throughout that summer, many people had approached him, speaking to him about problems in Emunah, about difficulties they were having as far as Emunah Hashem and Emunah Sadikim. And Rabbein Azal, that Rosh Hashanah, dedicated his whole shir to the topic of Emunah. Now we're going to find this Torah happens to be the longest chapter in Likutei Moran in size, and the fact that it was said the Rosh Hashanah before the last Rosh Hashanah of Rabbein Azal's life would mean probably that it's approximately the second most important Torah that Rabbein Azal said in his lifetime. In other words, that was said at the most important time of the year and the closest to his passing. And there's a tremendous quantity of information that's found in this Torah. But as many of the long Torahs, it requires a person has to take it one piece at a time, chew up one piece at a time, and try to understand it as well as you can, and then take another piece, understand that, and a third piece, and then as you keep adding on pieces, reviewing so that you're in a position to tie together pieces 1 and 2, 2 and 3, and so on and so forth. We're going to try to explain everything the best we can. Rabbein Azal bases this Torah on a pasuk in Tehillim, which we said that there are three outstanding chapters in Likutei Moran that are called Tiku, that are based on the pasuk Tiku b'chayde shayfar b'chkes lohayim chagenu, which is a special pasuk that we say on Rosh Hashanah, that everybody in the shul says together. Just like on Shabbos, we have the tefillah v'shamru b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos, which is a special tefillah for Shabbos. Pasuk says, Tiku b'chayde shayfar b'kes l'yem chagenu ki chayk l'Yisrael hu mishpat alekei Yaakov. We said that there are three tikkus in Likutei Moran. The first, in the second half of Likutei Moran, the first, fifth, and eighth chapters are based on this pasuk Tiku, Tiku b'chayde shayfar. And Rabbein Azal said these three chapters of Likutei Moran on three consecutive Rosh Hashanahs. Tiku Memshala was said 3 years before his passing. Three Rosh Hashanahs before his passing, Tiku Emunah was said two Rosh Hashanahs before his passing, and Tiku Teichacha was said the actual Rosh Hashanah before Rabbein Azal passed away. Rabbein Azal begins with the words, Ho'ikar hu ho'emunah. The main thing is Emunah. The main thing. Ikar means foundation, and Ikar means most important. And this item we were zeichet to hear from Rebbe Yochayim in Eretz Yisrael, that whenever Rabbein Azal uses this word ikar, he's implying that there are many things. In other words, not that we're saying there is only one thing, there are many things. Just like when a soldier goes out to battle, he carries with him different things. He carries a gun, he carries a grenade, he carries a knife, he carries a shield, a vest, a bulletproof vest. He's carrying different tools of war. But if a soldier were asked, given that you could only take one of these with you, which one would you pick? A person has to be in a position to prioritize, to be able to figure out of all of these different tools that I have, which is the most important. So that if I'm put into a situation where I have to depend on one item, which is the item that I'll have to depend on? That I'd be making the most correct decision in picking this one to default to rely on this just one. And Rabbein Azal brings this regarding tefillah in a chapter in the Likutei Moran that we had earlier, where Rabbein Azal said that Ikar Klei Zayinu Shel Moshiach Hi Tefillah, that the main weapon of Moshiach is going to be tefillah, implying that Moshiach is going to use many weapons. But out of all the weapons that he's going to use, the choicest one, the most important one, is going to be tefillah. Here Rabbein Azal says, in religion, when we discuss the whole scope of religion, if there's ever a choice between emunah versus anything else, You should know ho ikar hi emuna. A person could be the most learned person in the world, go to mikveh 10,000 times a day. If he's lacking in emuna, it means there's a hole in any mitzvah he does. Any mitzvah he does has a big hole in it. And chas v'shalom could be classified as avodah zara, possibly in certain circumstances. We mentioned the Baal Shem Tov says v'sartem v'avadatem elokim acherim, that if a person makes the slightest turn away from Hashem, it's as though he were worshipping idols. In other words, it's either or in this world. It's not like a person can say, well, I'm sort of in the middle. I don't really believe in Hashem, and I don't really believe... Baloney. If you turn away from Hashem, the Pasuk says that the tiniest turn away from Hashem is considered as a turn in the direction of idol worship, chas v'shalom. So that a person has to be more alert, more careful. There's no jokes and there's no taking it easy. A person has to be very serious about deciding exactly where he wants to position himself. So Rabbein Azal says, Hoikar hu emuna, the main thing is emuna. V'tzorech kol echad l'chapes es atzmai. Each and every person has to search himself constantly, to search within himself and to analyze himself and to study where he's holding in emuna. Where is he holding? In faith in Hashem and in faith in tzaddikim. Ulechazik es atzmai b'emuna, and to strengthen himself in emuna. And here we pause for a second, because this is an item that Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal mentions, and Rebbe Zal thought this significant enough to mention in his shir, the fact that Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal points out, Rabbeinu Zal mentions that a person has to search within himself about to see where he's holding in emuna, and then Rabbeinu Zal says, and a person has to strengthen himself in emuna. What's the connection between these two statements? Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal points out that a person could search himself and find himself lacking in emuna, and because he finds himself lacking, that he's not, that his faith in Hashem or his faith in tzaddikim is not 100%, that thought alone causes him to fall into a depression, or to give up hope on himself, or to fall into a despair. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, a person has to do the type of searching. When a person searches within himself, we're talking about searching constructively, not searching destructively. Tzorech kol echad l'chapes es atzmoy, he has to search and perform a type of search where ulechazek es atzmoy be'emuna, a search which will strengthen him, where he's not going to take the attitude that if he's weak, so he's weak. He's going to take an attitude that if he's going to find a deficiency, if he's going to find a weakness, he's going to start applying himself to plug that hole, to do whatever is necessary to be mashlim the emunah. Rabbeinu Zal explains, Kiyesh Soivlei Chaloim. There are people who suffer sicknesses. Sheyesh Lohem Makois Muflohois. They have awesome kinds of sicknesses, Rahman al-Slam, awesome suffering in illness. V'heim tzeivlim ha'choyloim rak bishvil nefilas ho'emuna. And the reason why they suffer these illnesses is only because of a deficiency in faith. Now note, throughout this whole chapter, I want to make this very, very clear. Throughout this whole chapter in the Kutaman, whenever we're going to use the word faith, we're implying automatically two items, side by side, faith in Hashem and faith in tzaddikim. And if you look in the Likutei Halachos and the Parparis L'Chochma, Odom Aforshim, they make this very clear, that in this chapter, Likutei Moran specifically, we're talking about both, faith in Hashem, faith in tzaddikim. So Rabbeinu Zal says that there are people who suffer awesome types of sicknesses, and the only reason for their suffering is because of a deficiency in emunah. Bebechina says, the Pasuk says, V'hiflo Hashemes makoischo makois gedolois v'ne'emonois v'choloim roim v'ne'emonim. Hashem will place upon you wondrous types of plagues, sicknesses, and note, the pasuk uses the word makois gedolois v'ne'emonois. Ne'emonois means trustworthy illnesses. Ne'emonois is miloshen emuna. V'choloim roim, and very bad sicknesses v'ne'emonim, and trusted ones. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'ne'emonim daiko. The Pasuk mentions this word V'ne'emonim twice to emphasize, to stress something to us. Kihem boim rak, kihem boim al yidei pigam emuna. These wondrous types of sicknesses, we're not talking about a regular type of sickness here. We're talking about a major sickness. These sicknesses come because of a deficiency in faith in Hashem. A deficiency in faith. Through a deficiency, a decrease in a person's faith, that brings upon a person wondrous sicknesses, Rachmona Litzlan, for which no medicine helps, no tefillah helps, and no zechus avos helps. These three things, Rabbeinu Zal points out, medication, tefillah, or zechus avos, the zechus of one's parents or grandparents, or the zechus of tzaddikim whom he's attached to, even those things can't help the person, chas v'shalom. Ki kol harefuos heimali. Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain now why. Why is it that a person who's deficient in emuna can put himself into a predicament where medication can't help? Even tefillah! Imagine, a person could be in a situation where tefillah will not help, chas v'shalom, and even zechus avos won't help. Rabbi Nazal says, ki kol harefuos heimal yidei asabim, because all types of medication generally are based on herbs, grasses, v'hem gedelim rak al yidei emuna, and these grasses, their nourishment comes only through faith. K'moy sham razal, as the Gemara says in Tainis, Ein hagishamim yardim elo b'schus emuna. The Gemara says that if any rain that comes to this world comes only because of the bale amono, only because of the people who have true faith. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, emes me eretz titzmoch v'tzedek mishamayim nishkof. That truth, emes, over here refers to a person. The Gemara there is referring to a person who conducts his business masa umatn be'emuna, is called emes. So the word emes and emuna here are interchangeable. The word emes here implies emuna. Emuna may eretz titzmoch v'tzedek mishamayim nishkov. That when there is emuna, then this tzedek will come forth from the heavens. What is tzedek? Rashi Kodesh says tzedakah is an inyan of chesed. Tzedek is an inyan of din. Rashi brings there in the Gemara. What's the din? The din is geshem, maskirin gevurais geshamim. The Gemara in Tainus begins that rain is a concept of din. So when the pasuk says v'tzedek mishamayim nishkof, tzedek refers to rain, din. That when there is emes, which means emuna, masa umatn be'emuna, then there will be rain. Shekishyesh emuna, oz yordim shamim, then rain, when there is emuna, then rain comes down, v'tzimchem asabim, and the grasses grow. So medication, which is totally dependent on herbs and grasses, and the herbs and grasses are dependent on rain, and rain is dependent on emuna, period. But through a deficiency in emuna or a decrease in emuna, ein gishamim, this causes, this holds up the rain, this prevents the rain from coming. Va'azai ein refua, and then chas v'shalom, there can be no cure. Rabin, that's number one. Now Rabbeinu Zal explains a second point. Gam also ikur koyach harufua sheyesh b'chol esev, to explain this a little bit more elaborately now. The power, the medicinal power that's found in every different type of grass, hu al pi haseder sheyesh lahazroim, is dependent on the sequence or the seder of the seeds, lefi hamokoim ulefi hazman, according to their location and according to the timing involved. Rabbeinu Zal now is going to explain that in order for a medication to work, it's dependent on seder, number one. It must be presented with a certain type of sequence. It must be grown and taken in a certain type of specific sequence. Plus, it's dependent on time and location, time and space. Why? Rabbi Nazal explains. Kiyesh esev, there is a certain type of grass or herb, she'ikar koyach l'rapois hu rak kishekoitzer noisoi ad sheloi hevishlish. There are certain herbs which their whole medicinal power is only when these herbs are cut before they have grown a third of their full growth. Now we find this mentioned in the Gemara in a few places. The Gemara discusses olives specifically, that olives, the oil that comes from olives, there's a major difference in halacha, in certain cases, in the bracha that you make different things, depending on whether the olive has grown a third of its full growth, or two-thirds, or the full growth. There's definitely a difference. Now, we know certain herbs that go into medication, there also, obviously, there is a difference. Certain herbs, in order to be just right, to have just the right power, in other words, for example, we know certain kinds of lettuces, romaine lettuce, let's say, when it starts growing, it's very, very bitter at its core. It's very, very bitter, whereas the leaves that grow as it advances in growth are sweeter, less bitter. Here also, Rabbi Nezal explains, certain medicines, their power is only when this herb is cut before it has reached a third of its maturity, a third of its completion. V'chein yesh esev, v'chein v'yachakach ein koyach loisei esev l'rapois. And if it passes a third of its growth, that herb will no longer be able to serve as a medicine. And there are certain other herbs where their power to cure is only if they have grown to their full growth, not just to their full growth, but to the extent where they're overgrown a little bit, where they don't even have to be cut, they fall off the tree by themselves. That's how much mature they are. And many different variations of this, according to the timing that's involved in that specific type of herb. And there also is a significance to the location. In one type of location, in a warm climate, there are certain herbs that can be grown and certain herbs that can't be grown. Whereas in a cold climate, there are certain things that can grow there, certain things that can't. Rabbi Nezal says, "V'ikar koychem l'rapois hu rak al pi haseder sheyesh lohem l'fi hazman v'amokim." And the main power of herbs to be able to cure is very much dependent on these two items: location and timing. Rabbi Nezal says, "Now v'seder hazroim hu al yedei emuna." The sequencing in terms of time and location of seeds. Seeds from which plants grow is dependent on faith. How do we know this? Rabbi Nezal says, "Bebechinas," as the Gemara says in Shabbos, "Emuna ze seder zroim." Emuna, that refers to the sequence of seeds. The Gemara over there in Shabbos is discussing the names of the six divisions of Shas: Zroim, Moyed, Noshim, Nezikin, Kochim, Taros. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk. There's a pasuk in Navi where the pasuk says, "Vahoya emunas itecha chesen Yeshuais chachma bina vadas," something like that. So the Gemara says that the six words that are used in this pasuk correspond to the six sections of Shas. The Gemara says the first word, emunas zu seder zroim. The word emuna refers to the section in Shas. Seder means a section in Shas called zroim. The first section of Shas, brachas, peyed, mai, kelaim, shvias, trumas, all of those mesechtes which deal with planting, shmita, truma, meiser, all of those things. Those all refer to emuna. Why? The Mefarshim give many interpretations. One of the interpretations that's given is that one of the most ideal examples of faith is a person who plants a seed. Because we know that according to the if we went by the normal laws of nature, nature is that if I put something into the ground, it rots. Yes or no? If I take a piece of food or anything and stick it into the ground, it'll rot. And here, the concept of planting is a concept where I take a seed, the seed in the ground rots completely, it actually spoils and begins to break apart, and from that spoilage and breaking apart, suddenly begins to grow a plant, a tree, a full tree with fruit and everything on it. So we see that zroim, seeds, planting, is a concept of emuna. It's totally an emuna. And the Gemara over there says that emuna ze seder zroim. Seder means the section in Shas. Seder also means this sequencing of time and location. So Rabbi Nezal says, shayidei emuna nase haseder shal zroim lofi hazman v'amokim. Through emuna, through a person's faith, that's what provides the correct sequencing as far as time and location. Shayidei ze yesh lahem koyach l'rapois, which is what gives these herbs the power to be able to effect a cure. V'al kein, and therefore, al yedei nefilas emuna, through a deficiency in emuna, ein moyil refuos, medicines will not be able to help a person, because in order for the medication to work, it requires this seder of zman and mokoy. What provides the seder? Emuna. If a person is lacking in emuna, Hashem will see to it that the herbs that he tries to use for medication will be coming from grasses that grew either in the wrong place. They tried to grow a certain medicine. They try picture trying to grow oranges, you know, in Alaska. Even if you get an orange, even if you get something that looks somewhat like an orange, obviously it's not going to taste like it, or it's not going to be able to have the same effect as an orange should have. Here also with medicine, if a person is lacking in emuna, chas v'shalom, he will not be zeicha to have a medication that comes from herbs that were grown in the proper place and with this proper timing. That's number one. Number two, v'chein tefillah, hu gam kein b'chinas emunah. We know that tefillah is also tied into emunah, faith in Hashem. K'may shekosu, as the pasuk says, nechumish vayihi yodov emunah. The pasuk says about Moshe Rabbeinu that his hands were stretched out in faith. V'targum ayin, the targum says, prishan b'tzloi. His hands were outstretched in tefillah. So we see that these two words are used interchangeably, faith and tefillah. So we see how dependent tefillah is on faith, that without faith, you don't call it tefillah. If a person davens without emunah, that's not called tefillah, chas v'shalom. V'chein z'chus avos, and so too the concept of z'chus avos, the merit of one's forefathers. Also, nizgale gamkein rak al yidei emuna. The whole concept of zechus avos only comes when a person has faith. Where do we see this? Bebechinas, there's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim that says, Hanitzonim niru bo'oretz. The flowers appeared on the surface of the ground. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Hanitzonim ilein avon. The nitzonim, the word nitzonim, refers to the forefathers of the Jews. And the Zohar HaKadosh proves how and why. Kodesh proves that Nitzonim refers to the Avos HaKadoshim, that Hanitzonim niru bo'oretz, the Nitzonim were seen on the surface of the earth. Rabbeinu Zal, the Zohar HaKadosh says, Hanitzonim ilein avon, kama shikozu b'Zohar HaKadosh, heim nirin v'nizgalin bo'oretz. When are the Nitzonim visible? Bo'oretz. Hanitzonim niru bo'oretz. Eretz is the concept of emuna. Rabbeinu Zal says, Shehi b'chinas emuna. Eretz is emuna. Kama shikozu, as the posuk says, Shchon eretz ure'ei emuna. Live in the land and draw faith, referring to Eretz Yisrael, that a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael is able to really draw faith. So we see that the word Eretz refers to Emunah. The Pasuk says, Hanitzonim Niru, when are the Avos HaKadoshim able to be seen? When is a person able to feel the effects of their forefathers to be able to draw on these Chus Avos? When? Bo'oretz. Through the power of Emuna. Emuna is what allows a person to be able to draw on the merit of his forefathers. Rabbeinu Zal says, Bechinas Ofor. Now Rabbeinu Zal explains a little this concept of Oretz, why Emuna is called Eretz. Because Rabbeinu Zal says Eretz means the ground, the dirt. And the Tikkuni Zohar tells us, Bechinas Ofor Mana de Kulhu. The Tikkuni Zohar says that dirt is the keli for everything. We know that when Hashem created the world is made up of Dalid Yesoidos, four basic components, Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofor, fire, water, air, and dirt. The Tikkun Ezer says that these four correspond to the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Ofor corresponds to the last He of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Malchus, which is the Koilel, that content. Malchus is the Keli. All the Sphirois, all the ten, all the first nine attributes of Hashem, Keser, Chochma, Bina, Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, all of those attributes have no significance whatsoever, Chas v'Shalom, unless they shine into the Malchus. The Malchus is called the Keli, which contains the light it receives into itself, the light of all the nine Sphirois above it, and it is the one that's charged with the task of disseminating the light of the upper nine spheroids to all the rest of the world. So the Malchus is referred to as a Keli. So too Ofor, which is the fourth of the Dalad Yesoidos, it corresponds to the last Hei of Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which corresponds to Malchus, which the Tikkun Ezer calls Mani de Kulhu. It's the Keli of everything. It's the vessel of everything. It contains in it everything else. The concept of Malchus has included within itself all the other Sphirois, all the other Midos. Rabbein Azal says, Al kein, therefore, al yedei nefila so emuna, through a deficiency in emuna, ein mayelai, loy refua, v'loy tfila, v'loy zchusovois. A person could put themselves in a situation where chas v'shalom, medicine could not help them, or tfila couldn't help them, or zechusovois couldn't help them. Because we've proven how all of these three things, in order for them to function, they're dependent on emuna. Zechusovois hanitzonim niru, when does this zechusovois shine forth? Ba'aretz, only if there's emuna. Now note, we Bnei Israel are called Ma'aminim Bnei Ma'aminim. The Avos Bechlal are always referred to as a mean of Emunah. We once mentioned, I think, from Rebbe Freimel Zal, that if you study... If you study, Rebbe Freimel Zal brings in the Enig Shabbos, that if you study the years, the ages of the Avos HaKadoshim, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, what's the Gematria? Avram Avinu lived 175, Yitzchak Avinu 208, gives us Yitzchak Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yitzchak is Bigamatri 208. Yitzchak Avinu lived 180, 180 and 175 is 255, Yaakov 355, Yaakov Avinu 147, 355 plus 147 is 502, which is exactly Bigamatria Emuna Pshuta. The words Emuna Pshuta, showing us that what was, in other words, that why, this is why the Gemara uses this term, that we are Ma'aminim Bnei Ma'aminim, that what's the Tachlis of the Avos HaKadoshim? What was their whole life filled with? This Inyan of Emuna Pshuta, by Avram Avinu, it says, V'he'emin b'Hashem v'yachshever lo yitztaka. So we see that the Zechus Avos is totally an Emuna. Tfila is Emuna. Without Emuna, a person doesn't get up to daven. And if a person davens, if a person says, manya, 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 the whole Shachris Min Chamarev, and he doesn't have true faith in Hashem, you would honestly say, that's not a tfila. It's not classified as tfila. The whole concept of tfila means that although I know that this, I believe that probably this morning the sun is going to rise and I'm going to go to work and get paid exactly $60 like I've gotten paid for the past 6 months since I got my last raise and this and that and everything. The fact that a person gets up to daven to Hashem every day shows that that person believes that every single day there's a chiddush ha'olam, there's a chiddush ma'aseh bereishis, and Hashem is capable of overriding anything that would have to be the norm, that would be considered the norm for that day, could be overridden and done away with. And Hashem could be mashpia, a whole new shefa and chiyas to the person that day. So Rabbein Azal says now, so therefore without emuna, a person can't be helped either by refuah, tefillah, zchusovos, ki kol elu heim b'chinas emuna kanal, because these three are a concept of emuna. V'gam ein, that's okay, so we've covered these three items so far. We're dealing with a sick person, and we're telling him, chas v'shalom, that without emuna, he's cutting himself off from three things that might have been able to help him. Medicine, tefillah, or zchusovos. Now Rabbein Azal goes to a fourth thing, something that's not tefillah, but tzaoka. Rabbein Azal says, "V'gam ein mayil ha'chayla koil tzakois shel och uganichos." A person through a deficiency in emuna can put himself in a situation where even screaming to Hashem alone, without words, tefillah means when you put your screams into words. Tzaoka means just screaming alone without mentioning words, where a person says "oi," which the Zohar Kodesh talks about and Rabbein Azal talks about the significance of this tzaoka. Rabbein Azal Torah Chof Aleph from the Likud Imran brings whole chidushim as to how that tzaoka is meila d'moichin, and there's so many things that are brought about when a person screams to Hashem, just the scream alone without words, tzaako seinu yadea talumais. But Rabbein Azal says, through a lack of emunah, a person puts himself in a position where even this tzaoka will not help him. Shelif ha'omim mayil ha'chayla elu ha'chaylais. Rabbein Azal says, at times, a sick person can be helped through this screaming. When he screams out, because of the pain of the illness alone, that alone causes that al yidei ha'chayla shemarachmim olav al yidei chaylais halalu. In heaven, when they see a Jew screaming out of pain, at times, the screaming alone arouses a rachmonis in heaven and causes them, it brings about a refuah. But through a deficiency in emuna, chas v'shalom, even this couldn't help the person. Why? Rabbi Nizal explains, Ki haganichois v'tzakois och hanal. This krechtsing, ganicha means when a person krechts, and anocha and tzaoka means when a person screams, och, oi, those screams, heim koil b'loy dibur. That's a form of voice without speech, meaning it's sound without a constriction of placing the sound into kalim. Words are actually kalim, where a person takes the power of sound and constricts it into specific divisions, letters which form words, which form sentences. Rabbi Nizal says this tzaoko is a concept of koil balay dibur. V'koil zebechinas avhon. And koil, sound, voice, is a concept of the avos, the forefathers of the Jews. Ki ha-koil Kolul me'esh mayim ruach. The Tikkun Zohar tells us that koil, the voice of a person, is a combination of three things: fire, water, and air. In order for a person to be able to speak correctly, it requires, if his throat dries up completely, you'll notice that people who have laryngitis, what does it mean? The throat has become dried out. As a result of a deficiency in the yisoid of mayim, he can't speak. So too, the concept of the ikar dibur is through esh, an inyan of hislavus, fire, shifchi kamayim. Rabbi Nizal brings this in many Torahs in the Kudamran, that the whole koyach hadibur is only when a person is aroused to speaking. Any type of speech, regardless of what it is, that's a concept of the yisoid of esh, fire. And the actual bringing forth of the words is totally in air. It's bringing together the respiratory system. Any defect in the respiratory system is going to cause a defect in speech. So the Tikkun Zohar tells us that koil is kolol from eish, mayim, ruach. These three ingredients. Shehein bechinas tlas avon. The Tikkun Zohar says, these three, eish, mayim, ruach, correspond to Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Vehem nirin venizgalin rakal yidei amuno. And we explained earlier that the effects of the avos HaKadoshim can only be felt through emuna. So if koil is the avos, and the avos can only be felt, can only affect a situation through emuna, then koil also will not be able to affect anything unless it's combined with emuna. So Rabbi Nizal says, "Vehim nirin v'nizgal raka yidei emuna shehi bechinas ofor mana dekulu." Emuna is the fourth yisoid, not the eish mayim and ruach. The eish mayim and ruach are only able to do anything constructive only when they are associated with the fourth yisoid, which is ofor, dirt, which is mani dekulu. Through a deficiency in emuna, or a person that suffers a fall, a yurida in emuna, ein moyeloi gam hakoilis kanal. Then the koil won't help either. Chas v'shalom. V'gam al yedei ze biatzmo ein moyeloi refua. Period. Okay, so we covered four things so far. We covered refua, tefila, zechus avos, and koil. All four won't help. Now Rabbi Nizal adds on an addendum, a PS. Rabbi Nizal says, "Vegam al yedei ze biatzmoi ein moyeloi refua," and now for this same reason, medicine won't help at all either, whatsoever. Ki ikar harefua hi al yedei. In other words, we mentioned a reason earlier why medicine won't help, because we mentioned that medicine comes from herbs, and herbs, we said, emuna zu seder zroim, so herbs were dependent on emuna. Now Rabbi Nizal is going to give a reason why medication won't help, based on this concept of the dalad yisoida, is eishmaim ruach ofor. Watch this. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'gam ayde zebiatzma in moyla refua." Based on this concept of the dalad yisoidos, that will also prove our point that without emuna, medicine can't help. Why? Ki ikar harefua hi alide his mazgus hayisoidos. When a person becomes sick, the Sifrei Kabbalah explain what physically causes the illness. An unbalance, each and every, just we said, Rabbi Zal mentioned many times, that Lahavdol, the scientists, discuss a concept of 103 elements, or whatever they're up to today, 120, 150 elements, basic elements which can't be broken down any further. These are the basic elements in the creation of the world. We believe, according to the Torah HaKadoshah, that there are four basic elements, and everything in this world comes from these four elements. It's either a mixture of them, or one of them, or two of them, or three of them, or all four of them combined based on a certain mix. So that, for starters, each and every single human being has is made up of these Dalet Yesoides. Each and every single human being has a concept of heat in him, certain motion, the pulsating of the heart, which is friction, which is heat within the body. There's liquid in the body, there's mayim, there's ruach, there's air. The whole functioning of the body is based on air going in and out. Neshima, koil ha-neshama, tal el-kod ha-neshima, and ofor, which the Torah HaKadosh tells us that when Hashem first formed Adam, he took ofor from all parts of the words and made man. So the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that when a person gets sick, what is it usually caused? It's based on an unbalancing within the body between some of the Yesoides. For example, fever. A person has fever. What does that mean? It means that an unbalanced situation has occurred within the body where the Yesoid of Eish has gone out of its boundary, it's become more than it should be, and it's overriding the Mayim. These two, the Eish and Mayim within the body, are supposed to be at a perfect balance, which generates a temperature of 98.6 Fahrenheit, whatever it is. When there's an unbalance in these Dalet Yesoides, that's what causes fever, or that's what causes chills, or that's what causes leukemia, or any type of illness, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, is usually based on an unbalancing between these Dalet Yesoides. Rabbeinu Zal says, ki ikar harufuah hi al yidei hizmazgus hayesoidos. The main concept of curing a sick person is based on being able to juggle these yesoidos and put them back into their proper mode, proper sequence, proper quantities. Ki yesh dalet yesoidos. There are these four basic elements, esh, mayim, ruach, ofor. V'tzorich lozeh, period. V'tzorich lozeh chacham godoil. This requires a very, very smart person, sheyeda alpi doctorai, who should know through the knowledge of medicines, lemazei kayesoidos, to be able to balance these dalet yesoidos within the body, sheyesh b'chol echad v'echad, lemazei kayesoidos, sheyesh b'chol echad v'echad min ha'asabim. We need a doctor who has such deep knowledge to be able to know how to balance the four yesoidos, these four basic elements, as they appear in herbs, in grasses, in medication, kifi harafuah shetzorah zeh hachayla, according to the medicine that this sick person needs, lefi kilkul hayesoid sheneskalkel v'nechlash eichel zeh hachayla, according to the type of spoilage or deficiency that has occurred within the body, based on a spoilage within this dalet yesoidos. Okay, so we see that in order for a doctor to be able to do his work, just discussing this scientifically, if we say that an illness is brought about due to an unbalancing, this is why, for example, doctors say when a person has a high fever, one of the most important things is that the person should drink a lot. Why? Because high fever means that the yesoid of Eish within the body has gotten too great. How do you deal with that? You have to water it down. You have to be mezgaber. You have to cause the yesoid of Mayim within the body to build up, to be able to combat and balance the Eish so that things could get back to normal. So when a doctor is going to prescribe a medication for a person, if he's a quack, so he's going to do whatever he learned in school, whatever he saw in a textbook, or whatever his wife happens to like, or whatever costs more money. But if he's a sincere doctor, he would have to have this knowledge of being able to know what yesoidus, how each herb is constructed, how much water it has, how much heat it has, how much heat-giving force it has, how much ofar it has, how much air it has, so that the intake of this specific type of herb, when presented in such and such a way, will cause the problem, the unbalancing that exists in the body, to be able to straighten out, to get back to normal. Which, again, note, this is totally on a straightening out, balancing out the Dalet Yesoidos. Rabbeinu Zal brings Gam behachruas hakoil yesh bechinas his mazgus hayesoidos. Here also, in the differentiation that exists when a person gives forth sound, speech, or words, also it's dependent on how these Dalet Yesoidos mix within the body. If there's more liquid in the body, or more heat, or more ofor, or more avir, that's going to determine how the voice comes forth. V'alkein, therefore, ayidei pigam emuna, through a deficiency in emuna, shaydeze nifgam bechinas hadalad yesoidos, that causes a pigam in the dalad yesoidos. Why? Because we said that emuna is ofor, emuna is eretz, which is ofor, and ofor is one of the most important to the dalad yesoidos. So if the emuna is deficient, the dalad yesoidos are going to be deficient. Ki kula mizgalim rak al yidei bechinas ofor, because all four dalad yisoidos are only able to come forth to have their true effect only through ofor, only through earth. Shehi mana de kulu, that is the substance of everything. Al kain ein le refua, that's why when a person is deficient in emuna, there's no way for him to be able to have a refua. Now let's explain this. Let's take the example of fire. You have fire. Can a fire be chal on nothing? The answer is no. In order for a fire to function, it has to be attached to a match or a candle or a wick. It needs something. Here's an example. We have this yisayid of Aish, and we see that fire alone, in other words, light a match, and you have the fire, try to pull the match away from the fire. Can the fire exist as an entity? The answer is no way. Because we said that the Tikkun HaSeira says, Ofor mana de kulhu, that the other three yesoidos, Mayim, Ruach, and Eish, cannot function in any way whatsoever without the Ofor. Ofor is the keli, Mayim. Can you have water without it being contained in some type of vessel? Is there any concept of a metzias of mayim just suspended somewhere? It's not called mayim. It's nothing. It can't exist in that way. It must be contained in a keli, in some type of earthenware, or no matter what you make the item, coming from this yisoid of ofor, which contains it and makes it accessible to us, usable. It makes it into a tangible item. So too with avir, the Tikkun HaSeira says, ofor mana de kulu, that ofor is the keli of all the yisoidos, and none of the yisoidos can function without ofor. So if ofor represents emuna, if you are lacking in ofor, how can you dream of being able to get a cure from the hismazgus of the dal yisoidos if you're missing the most important one? You understand? So this is a second proof that Rabbeinu Zal gave, how without emuna, medicine will not be able to affect the cure for the person whatsoever. Because the whole metzias of medicine being able to work is dependent on a juggling of the dal yisoidos. If a person has a deficiency in emuna, it means that by him, Ofor does not, he's cut out, one quarter of the Dalad Yisoidos is gone by him, it's non-existent by him. If Ofor is not there, the other three Yisoidos cannot function whatsoever, period.
How literal is this taken, that, you know, that function of Dalad Yisoidos can be dependent on Ofor? Because, for example, the example you gave with fire, if I go to a gas range,
right,
I light it,
right,
it's burning from the gas,
yes,
from the gas range.
The answer is possibly. Where does gas come from? Others comes from the ground or whatever. Or again, here's another example. The fire had to come from the range which is made of substance. Can you have fire as an entity alone? That metzias, anybody, I'm saying yes or no, it must come from some substance, be it uranium, be it a nuclear substance, be it paper, be it chemical, sulfur, regardless of anything, it's totally in some way in this yisoid of ofor. In other words, I'm quoting Tikkun HaSeira, and this is brought in several places in Likutei Moharan, this quote, ofor mana de kulu. And again, we're not necessarily that knowledgeable in science, in the general sciences, etc., but I'm positive that if you study this along scientific lines, you'll be able to understand how scientifically this metzias is not possible. Period. Now note how this applies to us in practical terms. We mentioned Shabbos. Rabbeinu Zal says that as far as a Jew, the avoda of a man is considered just about insignificant unless he's married. By a Jew, he must get married. Why? Because ofor mana de kulu, because the malchus is the most important sphere. The malchus is the wife, the isha. If a person is zoicha to be married, the zohar represents the first three letters of yudkei vavkei, and the upper nine spheres. The nekeva is the malchus, the shechina. Without the malchus, the zohar is nothing. Without a wife, the pasuk says loy toiv heyoy sadam levadoi. Rav Nosson Zal once said that a person who is levadoi is loy toiv chas v'shalom. In other words, that type of word. That's how important it is, and that's obviously the reason why the first mitzvah in the Torah is the mitzvah of getting married, Pur Revu. Why? Because we see it in this Torah Likutei Moharan, because based on this Tikkun HaSeira, that ofor mana de kulu, without ofor you have nothing. You could have tzitzis, tefillin, this, that, but it doesn't really, really have a significance until the person is zoicha to get married. Now, we're not saying that if a person is not married, chas v'shalom, you shouldn't put on tzitzis, but we're saying in comparison, When a person is zeicha to get married, that's what gives a shleimus to his avoida. That's where the avoida becomes significant. Next. Rabbi Nizal says, just that's the best example of it. Because the whole concept of psychosomatic illnesses is when a person is lacking in emunah. Rabbi Nizal brings in the Tanakh, Mishieshloi emunah chayav chayim. A person, how do psychosomatic illnesses come about? A person gets into a bad frame of mind, sad, things aren't going that well for him, so he makes himself sick. That's the expression it develops. He makes himself sick. Rabbi Nizal brings in the Kutaman that a person who's zeicha to have emunah in Hashem, that person is alive. That person will never get sick. What's the idea he'll never get sick? Meaning that person, no matter what kind of difficulty he'll encounter in life, be it at the job or with his wife, not anything, he's always going to find a good in it. He believes b'emunah shleima that kol man dovid b'shmaila, that whatever Hashem does is for the good. And if I'm going through some type of suffering, it's only for the good, as we're going to see later in this chapter in Likud Moran. Rabbi Nizal brings in Torah Samachay in Likud Moran that when a tzaddik undergoes pain, when a tzaddik has to sit in a dentist chair and they're pulling a teeth and he's going through excruciating pain, or when a person, what happens? The person clenches his eyes shut very, very tight from the pain. Rabbi Nizal explains there that that's the natural reaction of a human being to pain is the closing, or even an animal, is the closing of the eyes. Why? Rabbi Nizal has a whole explanation there that when a person wants to see in a distance, what do you do to be able to see in a distance? You squint. Squinting increases a person's vision. This is a chiddush, because usually we would say that in order for the eye to see, the wider that the eye is open, the further you can see. And we note that it's just the opposite. The more a person closes the eye, that allows him at times to be able to see further than when the eye was in its natural state. Rabbi Nizal says, what does this refer to? There's gashmius and ruchnius. The ruchnius, the spirituality, is much further distance away from the person. There's an interesting Zohar HaKadosh, where the Zohar HaKadosh says, we're going way off tangent. What the Zohar HaKadosh says about Yeshaya HaNovi and Moshe Rabbeinu, that by Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hazinu HaShamayim Va'adabero V'sishma Ha'oretz Imreifi. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ha'azinu HaShamayim V'sishma Ha'oretz. Yeshaya HaNovi said, Shimi Shomayim V'ha'azini Eretz Kipi. He used the reverse, he reversed the word, verbs. The Zohar HaKadosh says, why? What's the difference in Hebrew between Shmiya and Ha'azono? The word Shmiya is, when you want to hear something that's close to you, you use the term Shmiya. The word Ha'azono is when you're listening to something at a distance. The word lahazin means something that's close by. The word shmiya is something that's in a shmiya rechayka. Shmiya is something at a distance. Shmur rechayka. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, Moshe Rabbeinu was one unique individual in the world, where if we had to judge between two things, heaven and earth, which was he closer to? He was closer to heaven. Therefore, when he spoke, he used the term Ha'azinu HaShamayim V'sishma Ha'oretz. He was closer to heavenliness, therefore he used the verb Ha'azinu by Shamayim and Sishma related to Oretz. Whereas Yeshaya HaNovi, who was a lower level than Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a fantastic tzaddik, but compared to Moshe Rabbeinu, a much lower level, he said Shimi Shamayim V'Hazini Eretz. So we see that generally, to us, to regular type people, spirituality is referred to something that's very distant from us. It's in the distance. So Rabbi Nizal says that in order for a person to be able to see the Ruchnius, to be able to draw it, he has to close his eyes, Mechezu Dahay Alma, he has to be able to block out everything in this world in order to be able to see past it. Like, in other words, if we would picture that the 5 mile radius around the person is Olam Hazeh, that's this world, that's the physical world. If he could see past that 5 mile point, he could see into the spiritual world. How do you get to see it at a distance? By closing your eyes. Rabbeinu Zal says, by a person closing his eyes from the gashmias, from all the physical matter in this world, a person zeicha to see into the next world. What makes you close your eyes? Pain. when a person has pain inflicted on him, the natural reaction is a closing of the eyes. So Rabbi Nizal says this is one of the reasons why pain is a very beneficial item for a tzaddik. Pain and suffering, why? Because a tzaddik is one who wants to be masig, very great hasogos. He wants to be able to see on high, very, very far away. In order to be able to see on high, one of the ways of doing it is by being able to clench your eyes, close your eyes. That brings you to a very exalted frame of mind, very high level. What causes that pain? So we see here an example that when a person has emunah, pain could be a favor to him. He could look at it, he could kiss the pain, in a sense, by knowing that he knows that this could bring him closer to Hashem. The natural, the Gemara says that if a person would know how good that just as blood, just as salt takes out the bad blood from meat, that's to what extent suffering takes out the sins, erases the sins with that person. If a person has this faith, they believe in the words of the Torah, the words of Hashem, such a person, there's no way that they could inflict a psychosomatic illness on themselves, because he's always in a happy frame of mind. The emunah keeps him alive, it keeps him happy. Whereas a deficiency in emunah can cause either psychosomatic illnesses or even actual physical illnesses, because what happens is he's pulled out the floor from his body. There's four elements that his body is functioning on. The fourth one is afar, which is emunah. Remove the emunah, chas v'shalom, he's got the other three yesoidas bouncing around in his body any which way they want, and they can very easily become, the balance becomes upset, the person becomes sick, chas v'shalom. 100%.
And they can't find anything organically
wrong. Rabbi Nizal said that the machshava has, this is something that's taught in our sfarim. Rabbi Nizal said that the machshava has an incredible power. A person can create with thought. A person can concentrate and stop a bullet, stop a gun from shooting, stop a bullet from hitting him just by the power of concentration alone. You see, Rabbi Nizal is giving credence to this concept of that you definitely can talk yourself into an illness or talk yourself out of an illness. Just as a person could put himself in a frame of mind of simcha, there are people who are in the hospital with horrible diseases, and they just put themselves in a fantastic frame of mind. There are stories in the newspapers about this. A guy made a miraculous recovery just because he was determined. He wasn't going to let the physical illness knock him down. He overcame a physical illness through frame of mind. Let's continue. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'hatikin lozehu." We're just going to be able to start the next paragraph because we have to stop. V'hatikin lozeh, a person who Rachmana Litzlan is suffering from a deficiency in emunah. How does he fix this up? Shetzrichen lachtor v'limtzoy hamayim. A person has to dig and find the waters. Shemisham gedelo emunah. The waters which cause the emunah, the faith, to grow. Note, we compared emunah before. The Gemara said, emunah zeh seder zroim. Emunah is compared to seeds. Seeds need water to grow. The emunah has to be watered. That's the terminology that Rabbi Nizal is using here. Ve'elu hamayim heim bechinois eitzos. What waters are we talking about here? We're talking about advice. Advice is the water which helps faith grow, which helps a person's faith in Hashem and Tzadikim grow. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Oide shimcho kiosiso fele, eitzos meirochoik emuna oman. The pasuk says, Yeshayanovi says, I give praise to Hashem who has done wondrous things, eitzos meirochoik eitzos meirochoik emuna. That eitzos from way meirochoik here means from way back. The original advice that goes way way back, is what helps the emuna. Emuna uman. Uman means to raise. Vayhi oimein es hadaso. Mordechai was the one who raised Esther Hamalka. So eitzos is what raises, R-A-I-S-E-S, raises the emuna. Rabbi Nizal says, "Shayidei ha'etzayis gedelo ha'emuna." It's through a person receiving advice that's what helps the emuna to grow. Ve'etzayis heim bechinas oimek halev. Advice is a concept of the depths of the heart. Haynu, what does this mean? Kishen iskalkel v'noifel ho'emuna. When the emuna, when a person's faith becomes spoiled and it falls, ad she'ein moyel afilu koil tzaoko, to the extent where not only won't medicine help him or tfilos chosavos, but even tzaoko, even screaming won't help. Shehu koil b'loy dibur, tzaoko is a form of sound without speech. It's sound without any tzimtzum, without any constriction. Azay tzrichen litzoik min halev levad. Then a person gets to a point where he has to scream, not just scream where there's no words, but where there's no sound. He has to give forth a scream without any sound whatsoever. A scream that comes from the heart alone. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says in Echo, Tzoak libom el Hashem. Not tzoak pihem l'Hashem, not that their mouth screamed to Hashem, their heart screamed to Hashem. Shehu tzakas halev levad belikoil. This refers to a scream that emanates from the heart without any sound whatsoever. No sound, just a scream from the heart. Bidachinas, as the Pasuk says, mi ma'amakim krosicho Hashem. Mima'amakim krosicho Hashem. I call out to Hashem, mima'amakim, from the depths. The Zohar HaKadosh says, me'um kodaliba, that a person has to call out to Hashem from the depths of his heart. Va'oimek halev zebechinas etzois. Now we're going to tie together these two things. We started off by saying that if a person feels a deficiency in emuna, he has to water the emuna. What's the water on emuna? Etzais. And we proved it from a pasuk. We showed a pasuk which ties together etzais and emuna. Then we went to a second topic where we said that we had mentioned before that a person through a fallen emuna falls to such a level where not only won't tefillah help him, but even koil, even screaming won't help him. But what's the next level? After tefillah and after koil, there's a third item called tzoak libom, screaming from the heart. That might help. That we haven't disqualified yet. Rav Enazal says screaming from the heart is a concept of etza, is a concept of advice. The depths of the heart and advice are one and the same. Why? Because there's a pasuk that says, Rav Enazal says, v'oimek halev zebechinas etzos. The depths of the heart is a concept of advice. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, mayim amukim etza b'levish. Deep waters, advice within the heart of a person. That a person who's zeichet to be a Talmud, a person who's zeichet to be a great chacham, chachma, Torah knowledge, is compared to water many times. We once mentioned from the Zohar HaKadosh that wisdom, das, is a combination of chachma and bina. Which letter represents chachma? Yud. Which letter represents bina? Mem. Ben arboim labina. There's a mission in Perkei Avos, ben arboim labina. So that the word mayim refers to wisdom. Mayim, you have the yud in the middle, the chachma in the middle, surrounded by two mems. Mem is bina. We mentioned many times that the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that the spheroids are represented as concentric circles. The highest one is the one in the middle, so that chachma is in the middle, surrounded by bina, surrounded by das, surrounded by chesed, so on and so forth. The word mayim is an illustration of the concept of seichel, chochma surrounded by bina. So the pasuk says, mayim amukim etza b'levish, that a person who zeicha to have the power of advice, the power to give good advice, he has these deep waters in his heart. So now we see that these two are one, that etza is associated with mayim, that this water that's needed to help the plants grow, the emuna blossom, this water is a concept of etza. And therefore, kishein moyel koil tzaoko machmas nefila so emuna. When a person suffers to an extent where screaming doesn't help him because of a deficiency in emuna, azay tzrichen litzoik min halev levad bali koil. Then a person has to scream to Hashem from the heart alone, without any sound whatsoever. Rak meum kedaliba, just screaming from the depths of one's heart. And that's how a person could be zeichet to refill. This advice is referred to as these deep waters. And through this advice that's revealed in the world, meaning דהיינו שיועדן באוילם ליתן עצה לנפשם כל אחד ואחד כפי מה שצורך. People get to a level where they know how to deal with life. They through the advice that they've gotten, they know how to deal with different situations, all the variety of situations that come up in life. Aydei ze gedelo emuna. That's what allows the emuna to be able to grow. Bebechina, says the pasuk, says Eitzos meirochoik emuna oimen. That when the Eitza is kitikuna, when the Eitza gets fixed up, the emuna automatically gets fixed up also. We're going to hold it over here for now. Next time, next week, Mr. Shem, when we start, we'll review this last piece and we'll pick up from here. But for now, we've touched on a few items. We touched on this inyan that a person through a deficiency in emuna could put himself in a situation where we listed off a whole series of items that won't be able to help him. Even tefillah won't help him. Not just tefillah, but there's something in a sense that's higher than tefillah, which is when a person becomes so desperate that his cry, his call to Hashem, is in such desperation that he can't even put it into words. If you recall, we once explained from the Likutei Halachos that this is the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day where Rosh Hashanah is, in a sense, on a higher level than Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day where we put our confession into words. Rosh Hashanah is a day, it's the actual Yom HaDin itself, where the din is so powerful, this Mayim Amukim Eitza Balevish, this slave, Bino Libo, the din is so strict on Rosh Hashanah, it's called Yom HaDin, that we can't even put our cry into words. That's the side of the Tkiya Shofar. The blowing of the Shofar, it's sound without words. We're calling out to Hashem, this scream to Hashem, which Shofar is the Ikar HaMtoka Sadinim. Now Rabbi Nadal says in this Torah that there's a third type of scream. There's tefillah, there's koil, and there's tzakas halev. There's tzoak libo mil Hashem, where a person is so desperate that he can't even put his scream into a sound. He's so broken in something where tefillah wouldn't help and even where tzaka wouldn't help. And that call, that cry, is the concept of eitzah, which is the concept of the waters that help the emunah to grow, as we're going to explain more next week in the session.